This is the Millionaire Real Estate Podcast, where you'll learn the strategies and tactics you need to become a millionaire agent. Learn from top agents, brokers, team leaders, and experts in the industry who can help you on the path to success. And now, here's today's episode.
Hello, everyone. We are so excited that you're with us. And we have Amy Acevedo. You pronounce it.
Acevedo. That's okay. I actually did a funny video about my name and how you pronounce it, because even my closest team members don't say it right. So you're not alone.
One more time. How do you say it?
Acevedo.
Acevedo. Okay. She is with us today. And we are so excited. We're talking about how to attract team members, how to retain them, what is the best accountability, best parties, how to get a bankruptcy trustee, how to get involved with Dave Ramsey and HomeLight, and so much more. So we're so excited to have you, Amy.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So you've got a pretty large team, and I want you to kind of talk about what you did to attract your team members and how do you retain them and what you do for accountability.
Yeah, I have a different team structure, but I love it. So when I started in real estate, so 2002, we've got a roughly 15-person team. We're in three different market areas. So we've got some local, some Central Oregon, which is about a four-hour drive from us. And so I started the team by reading The Millionaire Real Estate Agent. So it was a super boring read, but I read it like a textbook. I made great notes, and I literally wrote my business plan from that. So fast forward, I have grown very naturally. Some people are very intentional with certain numbers. I gradually grew with business, and I think just saying yes to opportunity that many people would be afraid of. And so the way that I grew into, and stop me anytime if you want me to kind of go deeper into a topic, but one of my biggest blessings was, like, so for one, like a life lesson, say yes to every meeting, every introduction, every opportunity, and find out what it means. And one of my first biggest introductions, which is now my biggest lead source, was a bankruptcy trustee. So I started real estate in 2002. I met a bankruptcy in 2003, and it was slow going. He sent me one or two listings a year. And then fast forward to when we had that big economic downturn, like 07, 08, they dumped like 50 to 100 listings on me all at once. And keep in mind, I'm used to doing like 10 max, you know, and then they sell and then you get more. And I had this good flow. And at that time, I had one office manager and either one or two buyer's agents. And that was great. We were happy. But during that time, I crumbled. Like, houses were foreclosing. I couldn't keep track. And so I pressed pause on taking any new ones. To be honest, they fired me. But they didn't take away what I already had. And so I built all new systems. So I created spreadsheets, got everything done. And here's lesson number two, like, don't be afraid to go crawling back to someone. And so I went back to the trustees and said, now I can do it because I have systems in place. I've hired many new agents. I'm training other agents in my office to do this, and we're ready to take on more. And so that was how we got the trustee, was through an introduction from a friend, my dad's golf partner. But then that led to, because I earned their business, retained their business, they introduced me to other trustees. And then in addition to that, now my biggest client is a trustee and a receiver. And so I would tell anybody to see if you can find out your trustees that oversee bankruptcies in the area. And it's not the bankruptcy attorneys, it's the trustees. Because when someone files bankruptcy, the trustee takes over management of their assets and sells their home. And then if they're also a receiver, I could tell you crazy story after crazy story, because these are hostile people. It could be like five siblings that inherited multiple properties that don't want to sell. The receiver is in charge. And so I've gotten tons of apartment buildings, big listings, divorce listings, things like that. So I'll take a breath. Let me know what more you want me to elaborate.
Okay. Someone who's never done this, because this seems completely genius to me. So if someone wanted to do that, they could just kind of Google bankruptcy trustee. Like, I live in Virginia Beach, so I would say bankruptcy trustee in Virginia Beach. And then I would see which ones were there. And then I would reach out to those people and say, hey, I really would love to earn your business for anyone that is going to go through bankruptcy and see if I could earn your business that way.
I would use, so it's really hard to break into, but it's doable like anything. Like I've had builders that I, you know, wined and dined for years before they finally listed a subdivision with me. And I would be funny about it. Like I drop off a to-do list and a pie and be like, list a house with Amy, but on their to-do list. But on the bankruptcy trustee stuff, it should be public record. So that's where your title company friends will come in. Ask them for a list of the bankruptcy attorneys and the trustees. They're a pretty close-knit group. They know each other well. The attorneys are typically friends with the trustees. And so if you get in with a good bankruptcy attorney, that is golden, and it will spread if you take good care of them. And then in addition to that, because they don't want to train you, so do your research up front. And then in addition to that, find out who the receivers are for the area. Those are people that are overseeing distribution of assets for people that can't come to an agreement.
Okay. So let's say you wanted to make a phone call, let's say to somebody new, give us the script exactly of what they would say when they were trying to do it. Cause you want to sound a little bit knowledgeable, right? So if you were going to call someone without talking about the experience you have, what would that conversation look like to try to get your foot in the door?
So I approach everything with thinking of that person. Like, so what do they want to hear from me? Like, if you think about a buyer or a seller, it's all the same. You want someone to, like, you need to find out what their motivation is. So in this, so if I'm hiring, I'll find out, you know, I'll tailor my conversation to what I think that agent would want and go that direction. But with these guys specifically, I don't know. Have you heard of Phil M. Jones? He has the book Exactly What to Say.
Mm-mm.
It is the best book and everyone should absolutely read it. I use it in all situations. If I need a price reduction, if I have a difficult client, but especially in finding new business, it has so many scripts. So keep in mind, I didn't specifically have to earn it. I grew into that. But I think if I thought about what they want, which is they don't want to train someone. They want someone smart, hardworking. Keep in mind, I have gone to drug houses. I have had to clean out dead bodies. Like, it is not an easy job to do these. And they want somebody that is tough. So I would, like anything, you find someone that's done it before. I'll be your resource. You ask how it is, what the process is. You educate yourself on it. And then you think about what they would want. So you could say, you know, I would invite them to coffee to ask how you could benefit them. Like, hey, I've heard you are the top trustee. I would love to pick your brain. Let me do this for you and find out how I can help you. And then you grow from that. You find out what their pain points are. Like, my agent never calls me back. They got too busy. Then you could say, well, I don't want to step on your other agent's toes. What if I helped them? Let me just call your other agent and see where I can fill in the blanks. So you just, it's always that WW, whatever, what's in it for me? That's what people care about. So find out what their pain points are and then be the solution to that. And the hardest part is getting your foot in the door. To me, it's face to face. If you can, so I've done pop buys back in the day. I would go to all the law firms. I would drop off holiday treats. I did one of those ghost written, how to sell your home during a divorce, how to sell your home for more money. And so I dropped it off to all the divorce attorneys. So I've just done different, consistent things of just getting to know them, inviting them to lunch, asking them questions, be where they are.
So with this book, Exactly What to Say, The Magic Words for Influence and Impact, tell us some of the things that you got out of it that has helped you in the real estate field.
Yeah, I will, kind of a totally different subject, but I have this house and what's funny is three agents interviewed, I got it. We all thought 1.7, 1.9 for price. So we agree 1.9 after just an hour long consult of like really going back and forth on price. And then at the last hour, I have pictures taken, I'm ready to go. They just throw out a 2.4 price tag, which is ridiculous. It's already like a couple hundred grand over. So I sat down and I'd just been butting heads with this guy, super nice guy, but just very set in his ways. So I got out the Phil M. Jones, Exactly What to Say. And here's what I learned. And I basically said, what are your goals? So you want to sell this house, and how much money do you need? This is how much money you need, because nobody cares how much you know, or they don't want to be told that they're wrong. But if you're working alongside them to accomplish their goals, so you have to acknowledge everything that's important to them. And when you think you know the answer, ask 3 more questions. So you want to be closer to your family. You have 20 cars you need to store, and you need the money to build a structure. You repeat back to them every single thing that they want. And then that's when you just tie it together with a bow. So you've already told me you need this much. I can get you this much, even at reducing the price to 1.9. Also, the feedback is that, you know, your cabinets are this very out of style color. And when we had 20 agents and showing say they should be a lighter color, let's just get a quote and just see what it would cost to repaint them. We don't have to do it. But wouldn't you agree that we want to get your home sold for the most amount of money to get you to your, you know, building the structure that you want to be close to your family by this day?
I love it. So let's talk about how to attract team members and what you did to get these team members and how you would get new team members if you're looking to hire more.
Yeah. And so I've had a lot of just natural growth. Our team, social media is a huge one. I've always had a pretty easy time having people come. It was typically just a Facebook or Instagram post, and we would get enough applicants that we would, and we're heavy on personality profiling. They have to meet the team, get a feel for our vibe, because we're not for everybody. My personality test is I love fun. Everything has to be fun. And if you are a driver and you want to be organized and you don't want to talk about shoes for the first 10 minutes of your team meeting, like, you're not going to want to be on our team. And so we have people, anyone that wants to come in, it's always open. We have a team meeting every Monday at 9:30. And there's usually a training. We go over our numbers. And then every morning we have a call at 7 a.m., which most people think is just cruel because realtor time is 10 a.m. But we do it first thing to start our day. And just to circle back on how I would attract people, our culture is incredible. We are very positive, zero tolerance for gossip. So, and we actually make money. The team, the buyer's agents make money. I think there are myths out there that they don't. And so I did a training video that I will find and send to you that basically addressed all of the fears that a buyer's agent would have. And I met them where they were at, and I had to have a hook. So I would say, you know, has the market got you down? Are you just not getting the income that you want? Maybe you've thought a team would be, you know, a burdensome thing, or you wouldn't make money, or I'd be a slave driver. But I'm here to tell you I have amazing culture, and here's what I'm proud of. And I think you should give me a call so that I can at least share with you what it's all about and you can make an informed decision. But would it surprise you to know that most of our agents make well over, you know, they make good 6-figure incomes. So just talk to them about what they want.
Because I think this is the crux of how to do ads for everything, is what you do is you find out what the objections are in advance, like find out from different people, and then you hone in on those. So basically what you said is, okay, are you worried about being a team member because, number one, you think I'm going to keep all your money, or you think I'm a slave driver, or you think you're not going to get enough leads, or you think you're just going to have to come into the office day in and day out and just call, and you're going to get burnt out. So you figure out what are the objections of someone wanting to join a team. And now you're saying, this is not going to happen, right? Is that kind of what you're saying? To me, that's the key to any good advertising.
It's the key to all of real estate, whether it's a buyer's agent, a seller, you know, a new potential mode of income. You find out their pain points. Like, we did an investor's mixer, and we had double who we thought were going to come, because we talked about, are you a tired landlord? Are you so sick of filling vacancies, fixing damaged properties, pet damage, like whatever their pain point is. And then we have this solution, try a DST. You may not know about it, but come in. And so when you do videos like that, you start out, you don't even get to the point. You do get to the point. You don't introduce yourself, because people decide within the first, I don't even know, 5 seconds if they're going to watch it or keep scrolling, depending on where it's been sent. So you ask the top questions that are interesting first. Then you go into their pain points and overcoming what objections you think they might have. And then you share your solution.
I want to tell you, one of the reasons why I joined and I just love Canzel is that I can get 100% commission, I get revenue share, and I get stock. I am making thousands of dollars every single month in revenue share and stocks. And I now don't have to work nights and weekends on real estate anymore. You know, I've actually never been to a real estate agent's retirement party, and I want to be the first one that people are coming to at a young age. And I want to share with you some of my favorite resources. So if you go to joincanzel.com/free, there's a couple that I want you to download. One is a 20 free lead generating PDF. It's going to help you generate leads for free that you can download, as well as there's one on how to double your business. I don't want you to miss it. Go download it today. Joincanzel.com/free.
So one of the things that you told me is that you get a lot of leads from Dave Ramsey being an endorsed local provider in HomeLight. How could someone get involved in doing those, and what is the pros and cons of that?
Yeah, there has been so much good. We've had so many lessons. So we love Dave Ramsey, love HomeLight. We also have Ideal Agent, Clever. So we've got several lead sources. And at this point, because we have a large team, people come to us and offer us the opportunity. But the way I got on with Dave Ramsey, I was not a big producer. I was actually recommended by another ELP, which stands for Endorsed Local Provider. And so I would say, like anything, you just call and ask, do you have openings for this area? So to be a Dave Ramsey endorsed local provider, you have to have been through his training. So I had been through Financial Peace University. It actually changed my life. I have an amazing story there, and I love sharing that with my clients. But you also have to have a certain level of production. And so you just find out what their requirements are, and then you get to where you're meeting their requirements, take the class, do the things, get your production up, and you just keep going back. And like anything, consistency is key. A lot of these sources aren't going to be right away, but you find out who the people are, and then you approach those people. And it's probably going to take a few tries if they don't have an opening, but they might.
Okay. And then what about, just name the other ones again. So
Clever, we actually signed up through. And it's a blessing and a curse. I'll share a lesson without naming the place, but we got a massive lead source, like fire hose of leads, but it was a 40% referral. And then keep in mind, I have a split with my team members. So even when I was super generous where they'd get 60, I'd get 40, it was not a big money maker. Our checks were very small. We did it because we're building our database, and we take really good care of our database. We have 3 client parties a year. We stay in touch with them. We have our monthly newsletter. We do like the group text, and we divide it up in calls. So our database, everyone's database should be their number one source of business. It's 70% of our business, even with all this other stuff. That's our biggest source. So like Gary Keller says, you know, create your database and add to it every day. If you're at the grocery store, whatever. Be fearless and don't be afraid to ask, because, you know, I could do a whole nother thing about mindset. But to circle back to these, and sorry, I totally lost my train of thought, but how you get on with them. Clever, we got through another lender partner and signed up. So you just go on their website. So Clever is a discount. It's 1.5, I think, is what they offer. It's like the sell side, and then you offer a buy side commission. And I know with the NAR, I'm always like, am I okay saying the price? But that is what they require you as a listing agent to take. So it's hardly anything. And you have to offer full service. But when things are slow, like our goal is to actually grow out of that lead source. But during 2023, when we had less activity, we were very grateful because they were ready to go listing leads for us and some buyer leads. We've also done sold.com is pretty small. Dave Ramsey's been one of our bigger ones. HomeLight was big for a while, and I actually haven't gotten as much from them. And then Ideal Agent is a good one. So I would just approach all of them and ask what their requirements are.
Love it. So let's talk a little bit about accountability. So with your team members, I think that this is such a big thing with people. You know, some people are like, I need the accountability. Some people are like, I don't want the accountability. Trying to find like that happy medium where someone could say, you know, it kind of works on both sides. Because the other thing is, as a team leader, if you're spending money, especially like on Facebook ads and TV and radio and all this stuff, you're spending money on leads and then people aren't following up with them. It's basically like throwing money out the door. But then it's also a balance of trying to keep the team members, because if you give them too much accountability, then they're like, this is too much accountability. I became an agent because I wanted to be self-employed and, you know, I didn't want all of this accountability. So where do you find that happy balance, but also not letting the leads go down the drain as well?
Yeah. So I have actually an agent that's just in charge of, here are all the leads that need to be followed up with. But I have very loose accountability because, like I said, I'm motivated by fun. And so I do, basically, here's our rough structures. We have our meeting at 9:30 on Monday. We go over our numbers and we have a list of leads that need to be followed up with from all of our lead sources. And it's kind of a shame thing. Like, you've got your name right there. Like, hey, so-and-so has to follow up with this many leads. And I am in production and sometimes I'm on that list. So then we just know that we need to do it. We have minimum production standards, and it seems really high. I know a lot of people think this is high, but they have to sell 24 homes a year to stay on the team. And we just had a massive restructuring. So I'll go off topic and come back, where three of our top producers. So just to give you context, in 2022, we sold about 350 homes, $250 million in real estate. Last year, we had one have a baby, two go out on their own with my blessing. I will always maintain good relationships and wish people the best, but we lost income there. So we also had a lower sales year. So we were at, I think, just around 230 closings, and I'm in a rebuild year. It's like an NFL team where you bring in all these new agents. So there's a lot more accountability with the new agents, because if you guys are producing and I know you're converting, you can do your thing. You can work from home. You can work your schedule because I know you're doing it. With the newer agents, we basically have divided up our database, and then we have contests when they get to a certain level. So let's say they called like an updated 20, or I think it's when you get to 100 leads, you get like a gift card, or if you get to 200, and then when they get to like 1,000, they start getting like $500. So I'm all about contests and positive reinforcement and having things be fun, but there's no like, you're in the office these days. That just simply doesn't exist. You just turn in your numbers, and I can just tell if you're not doing the lead gen because you don't have any pending sales. And after a certain period of time of not hitting those standards, we do the 411, which people typically fire themselves if they're not going to, you know, change their ways. So we literally sit down. Okay, you're not hitting your goals. What's your game plan? We're going to do this and this. By what date? Okay. And then you sit down on that date. Did you do it? And then if they didn't, they're like, I guess I'm not a fit for this. And if they did, they're killing it and they're super happy.
Do you have certain scripts that you kind of, you know, have for your agents that work really well to do follow-ups? Yeah. Some of the older leads or some of the leads that come in?
Yeah, right now are big. So I have just been so overwhelmed by my database because I've changed I've only changed companies three times, Century 21, Keller Williams, and then Knight, but this is over 22 years. But even within that, we've had different databases. And so like we were super organized. And then when we switched them, we lost all of our tags and had to start back over. So we have 10,000 people in our database. It was kind of a mess. Like some of it didn't even have names or have a number, but no email. And so we divided up that whole beast because like anything, if you make it small pieces, everything is doable. So when you take, just for easy math, 10 people to call 10,000 people, each person calls 1,000, but you divide that up over a day, that's 5 to 10 calls a day, depending on how you structure your schedule. So right now we're doing that and we have a fabulous script that is just, hey, it's Joe with the Azevedo team. Amy and I are just going through and just checking with our clients to see if you have any questions about real estate. Have you been getting our newsletter? It's so simple. And I'm not even doing that well, but we have it very specifically with objection handlers, yes and no. And the ultimate goal is it's okay if we delete people, but if they ask, hey, can you remove me from your database? Okay, absolutely. I'm sure you have a reason for asking me to do that. Do you mind sharing why? And if it's like, well, we're not buying or selling real estate. Yeah, we get that. Most people aren't. We just have a monthly drawing. I don't know if you know this, for a $50 gift card every month. And there's no you know, requirement to do anything. We just want you to think of us when you are buying and selling. And we have client events. If you see a for sale by owner, like, just tell us. And when it just becomes a conversation like that, sometimes they're like, oh, okay, we will stay on. And then sometimes they still want to be taken off, their brother's in real estate or whatever. And even then I'll say, I'm not proud. Like, if your brother wasn't in real estate, then would you, you know, consider working with me? And then if they say yes, like, okay, then we go from there. But it's kind of this flow chart of, it's just a natural conversation. And then we've just got some responses of what to say based on different, but we've got a ton of scripts. So every buyer's agent has a binder. And when we have them call any lead source, they've got scripts to use.
Talk about, as far as parties go, I know that you basically have some events that you do that people are like chomping at the bit to get into. So talk about that.
Yeah. And what's funny is we didn't do the text message that we usually do. So we usually email everybody with like a couple of text messages, a no ring voicemail. And this year we actually planned it just kind of last minute. We had a venue change and we still had, you know, a really good attendance, but, and people would reach out to us, what happened? We didn't get invited. You know, here's our updated info. So we have three parties a year. One is, we've had it at different venues, but it's a swanky, well-attended kind of cocktail and dinner type. So I'm a member at a country club here. That's where we had it, this most recent one in March. And it was, we have live music and we have our vendors share in it with us. So we have table sponsors. So people pay for the live music. They pay for the photo booth. I had a drink sponsor that covered all the cocktails. And then another lender and I split the cost of the party, which for 100 people was about $5,000 for our cost. So it was $2,500 each. And so a lot of people I've heard have zero net parties. I'd like to get there. I'm not there yet, where you bring in more vendors. But that's what we did. And then our July is, and by the way, at that party, we've had as many as 200. One thing that I've learned, and it's, that's a great number. We get to network with our clients, but some of my very transparent clients are like, that sounds terrifying. It's just all a whole bunch of people that don't know each other. And there's no way I would come and stand in the corner. And I'm like, that's okay. I just wanted you to know you're invited. I love you. Because the point is that top of mind awareness. So you're getting invited to three parties a year. You may not come to any, but when you're ready to sell your home, you're still going to call me because you feel like we have a relationship. And we sometimes we do, like we become clients or we become friends with our clients. So first party, more of a cocktail hour. Kids are allowed, but not encouraged. And then 4th of July is actually a pie and fireworks pickup where they come to the office. We buy hundreds of pies. People come by. And then October is our biggest party with hundreds of people. And it's at a giant farm, pumpkin patch, family photos that they use for the holidays, catered, and just and live music again. And we typically just pick a local farm for that.
So talk about when the inviting process, because I think that is just a nightmare to try to get all those people invited. So what do you personally invite them? And to get those invitations out, you had said something about ring. Talk about how you invite people.
The no ring voicemail. So here's what I am learning, and I am still struggling because nobody RSVPs anymore. So for instance, we had an investment mixer and I thought, okay, this is going to be a flop. So I did my video that I talked about with my hook, my pain points. And we had like 10 people say that they were coming and it was actually a small space. So we maxed it out at 40. Well, we had over 40. But nobody said that they were coming through word of mouth. And some people that I was talking to, I kind of had a guess that we would have more than we thought. We've had nightmare client parties where we ordered enough food for 100 and had 200 come because they didn't RSVP. So what we've learned, and that was the reason we had a smaller party this last March, because we did the one big email to 10,000 people in our database. And we didn't do the no ring voicemail and we didn't do the mass text. So those are ways to invite people and we'll do that for our fall party.
You can use for the no ring voicemail and for the mass text.
Yeah. What it's through. So I'm a Keller Williams agent and we have Command and you can pay extra. And so we just paid for the no ring voicemail. And so I just do the recording. And then actually that's not true. I don't think Command.
There's a company called SlyDial.
It wasn't SlyDial. Okay.
Yeah, SlyDial is the best one. It's a ringless voicemail personalized. Perfect. And can have them call and just leave a voicemail and it never actually rings. That one is the best one out there. And then there's also, as far as there's a company called OpenPhone that we use, but there's also another one. Now I'm trying to think. Heather will have to remind me of the other one that we use for the...
Is that ClickSend? Because she just sent it out.
That's right. ClickSend is a good one for sending out mass text to people as well. Do you have another one that you do for the mass text?
Not now. Now we just do it through command. It starts with T and I can't remember because we have an admin team. So they set it all up for us. And I'm happy to send resources after. But the no ring voicemail, I do like one that shows my... like a missed call from me. And people are like, how did that even happen? And it just makes me laugh because it was a no ring voicemail, but it shows as a missed call. And then they have the message and I am very careful with my wording. So it doesn't sound like a mass text.
Yeah. Well, this is awesome. Well, we are out of time. Tell listeners where they can find you and where they can follow you.
We have our website. So I'm on Instagram. I have a personal and a professional. So it's Amy Azevedo. It's Amy Azzy. It's my Instagram. It's just the Azevedo Real Estate Team. And both of those are on Instagram. Our website is azevedoteam.com. Probably the hardest part is my name spelling. So just make sure you spell it right. But if you Google me, you should be able to find me. And I'm happy to answer questions, you guys. If you want any resources, just probably text or email is best. And I'm happy to answer them for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. This was awesome. And let's show her some love in the chat for showing us just a wonderful array of all kinds of items. I think for me, the part that you said about the bankruptcy trustees is just a huge piece that I'm hoping a lot of people take a lot of value from.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a rating and a review so we can get this out to more agents. And tune in next week for another power-packed episode. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Podcast.